Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We hope you're having a great one out there. We appreciate you being here. In a little bit, we'll get into some fun stories that we've got lined up for you. But we kick things off the way we like to on a Monday in the 10 o'clock hour. Tell me something good.
Ooh, good morning, and welcome to the Kitchen's Open on WFHR. Welcome to the Kitchen's Open on WFHR. With all the rain, nature is bursting with color. The grass is getting greener, flowers are blooming, and our food is vibrant.
Somehow, I don't think that's all from the rain.
You're not wrong. For generations, much of the food that we consume has been altered to make it look more appealing. Food dyes were introduced because we tend to eat with our eyes first.
It actually goes back thousands of years. Ancient Egyptians were known for using additives to color their hair and for cosmetics.
Not only that, according to the Food and Drug Administration website, naturally occurring color additives from vegetables and mineral sources were used to color foods, drugs, and cosmetics in ancient times. Paprika, turmeric, saffron, iron and lead oxides, and copper sulfate are some examples. Wine was artificially colored beginning in at least 300 BC.
Wow. What we use for coloring and what colorings are added to a product makes a huge difference.
That's right. It's fascinating to look into the history of how food dyes have changed throughout the years, just in our country. The FDA's website shares in 1856, William Henry Perkin discovered the first synthetic organic dye called mauve. Discoveries of similar dyes soon followed, and they quickly became used to color foods, drugs, and cosmetics. Because these dyes were first produced from byproducts of coal processing, they were known as coal tar colors. Mm. Federal oversight of color additives began in the 1880s. The assessment of color-imparting ingredients in foods was among the first public initiatives undertaken by the U.S. when in 1881, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Bureau of Chemistry began to research on the use of colors in food. Butter and cheese were the first foods for which the federal government authorized the use of artificial coloring. So when you buy butter, it's actually more yellow in the store than if you were to get it fresh from the farm.
That's correct. Right, yeah.
By 1900, many foods, drugs, and cosmetics available in the U.S. were artificially colored. However, not all of the coloring agents were harmless, and some were being used to hide inferior or defective foods. Mm. A careful assessment of the chemicals used for coloring foods at the time found many blatantly poisonous materials, such as lead, arsenic, and mercury being added.
Yikes.
In many cases, the toxicities of the starting materials for synthesizing color agents were well known and could be toxins, irritants, sensitizers, or carcinogens. In 1906, Congress passed the first Food and Drug Act, which prohibited the use of poisonous or deleterious colors in confectionery and the coloring or staining of food to conceal damage or inferiority. In the 1920s and 30s, it became clear that the Food and Drug Act of 1906 did not go far enough to protect the public health from misbranded, adulterated, and even toxic products, including an eyelash dye that blinded some women.
Jeez.
The Food and Drug and Cosmetic Act of 1938 further increased government oversight of food and drugs, and for the first time passed legislation for the regulation of cosmetics and medical devices.
It's been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
It has. Wow, that's really remarkable.
I think sometimes we forget we're in a time and age where as people, sometimes we're able to, you know, kind of figure these things out or, hey, this product is hurting people or this product isn't safe or whatever. And even after it's been okayed. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of things like darts and some of the games and some cosmetic things that we heard when we were all in school and stuff like that. But it doesn't happen nearly as much as it did back in the day before we had these organizations, before we had these government bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And it just... I think it's a nice reminder every once in a while that why we have these government bodies.
Right. It's why we have these laws, you know. They were created for a reason.
How many people out there knew there was a Bureau of Chemistry?
Yeah, right. You know, yeah. And it's been around forever. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the 1800s. For 100 years, yeah. Yeah. So, and what I found fascinating is who had the bright idea to say, oh, this byproduct of coal is something we should eat and put in our food. Yeah. Because it makes it more colorful.
I think the same thing in the recent trend of charcoal toothpaste and some of that. When that first started, I'm like, get out of here. What? Right. What are you talking about?
Well, at least that you spit back out.
Yeah. Right,
or
right.
you just put on your face and you wash off.
Right.
You don't ingest it.
Right.
And that's where the issue came. Like, if you go back to the ancient times, they were using natural herbs and spices to add coloring.
Right.
Not artificial things that might not be good for our body.
Or even natural things that weren't good for our body.
Yeah. Right.
There's a lot of those, too.
Well, this is true.
And notice that what the difference of those things, profit.
Yes,
how much that changed all of this.
What can save me money, right?
Yeah. Well, and it didn't stop back in the 1930s. The FDA's website goes on to share in the fall of 1950, many children became ill from eating an orange Halloween candy containing 1-2% FD&C Orange Number 1, a color additive approved for use in food. That same year, U.S. House Representative James DeLancey began holding hearings on the possible carcinogenicity, say that word five times fast,
right, yeah.
of pesticide residues and food additives. These events prompted FDA to reevaluate all of the listed color additives. In the next few years, FDA found that several caused serious adverse effects and proceeded to terminate their listings. During that time, it also became clear that coal was no longer the primary raw material source for the manufacturers of color additives.
I almost guarantee that orange candy was candy corn.
Yeah.
I'll bet you anything it was candy corn.
And I will guarantee if I was alive at the time, I would have been one of those kids that got sick. I would have eaten that candy.
Yeah, me too. And the fact that they now have moved even away from coal, which is a natural substance, into something even more synthetic is not a good thing.
Right.
So the color additive amendments of 1960 defined the words color additive and required that only color additives except Cartol hair dyes be listed as suitable and safe for a given use, could be used in foods, drugs, cosmetics, and medical devices. The 1960 amendments prescribed the factors that FDA must consider in determining whether a proposed use of a color additive is safe, as well as the specific conditions for safe use that must be included in listing regulations. The 1960 amendments also contained a quote-unquote DeLancey clause that prohibited the listing of color additives shown to be carcinogen. The clause states that, quote, a color additive can be deemed unsafe if the additive is found to induce cancer when ingested by man or animal, or after a few relevant exposures of man or animal to such additive. After 1960, FDA gradually removed color additives from the provisional list, either by permanently listing or by terminating them from the list. Today, about half of the 1960 color additives remain listed. Only color additive lakes remain provisionally listed, and initiatives are underway to permanently list them.
Okay. Wow.
Hopefully they get those going soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's just staggering to kind of think about sometimes.
Yes.
It is. And
how long it's taken, yeah.
The fact that Cartol is no longer the primary source, and now all of these others are, the steps are being made. So more and more additives are coming out, which is great. And there are natural ways to color foods.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that difference between breakfast cereals in the U.S. as to how they're done in the U.K. or in Europe.
Or in Europe, yeah.
And so the emphasis and activists are really trying to really make that a regulatory. Let's make our regulations as stiff as they are in Europe.
Well, and this is, and forgive me, but this is another reminder of why we don't run politics and we don't run our country like a business. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
This is what happens when
point.
You run business
right.
like a business.
Right.
They care about is profit, and they don't care about people,
right.
and they don't mind hurting people. You know,
right.
can't do it.
Yeah, and it's daunting to think about how these artificial food dyes are affecting us and what they're doing to our food and to our health. But there is a bit of hope on the horizon. On April 22nd this year, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and FDA announced a series of new measures to phase out petroleum-based synthetic dyes from the nation's food supply. In line with this priority, on May 9th, FDA announced it was granting three new color additive petitions that will expand the palette of available colors from natural sources for manufacturers to safely use in food. So some of the major brands are taking notice and making efforts to make this happen. According to an article on CNN.com, food giant Kraft Heinz will remove all artificial colors from its brands as synthetic food dyes face renewed scrutiny from consumers and Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. The maker of Kraft Mac and Cheese, Heinz Ketchup, Jell-O, Capri Sun, and other brands announced on June 17th that it will remove synthetic food colorings from all of its foods sold in the United States by the end of 2027.
Wow.
The company also said it will not release any new U.S. foods with artificial food dyes. General Mills, the maker of cereals such as Cheerios Trix and Cinnamon Toast Crunch, as well as other brands like Nature Valley, Pillsbury, and Yoplait, soon followed suit. It announced later that same day that it planned to remove certified colors from all of its U.S. cereals and K-12 school foods by summer 2026, and out of all of its products by 2027. The Minneapolis-based company said in a statement that 85% of its retail products are already made without those artificial colors.
I remember General Mills doing that several years ago. They had announced that they were taking all the artificial dyes out of all of their breakfast cereals and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they've been actually doing it for a while.
Well, and I remember, too, because of the huge outcry from children when they all united and said, oh, wait a minute, no, that's right.
No, nobody, they didn't
nobody,
do that.
Nobody noticed. Nobody noticed.
No one really cared, yeah. Oh, wow, our cereal looks basically the same, right? Yeah.
Well, and it started for Kraft with a mac and cheese because they mm-hmm. were using food dyes here, but they weren't over in Europe.
Right.
And there are some health effects. Now, no study has been exactly conclusive or
right.
done specifically on food dyes, but some of the artificial dyes have been linked to a number of possible health concerns, including allergies, cancer, inflammation of the colon and colorectal health problems, DNA damage, and behavioral changes.
Right.
I mean, DNA damage.
I mean, isn't that scary?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they have been able to link that it doesn't necessarily cause ADHD, but food coloring, specific red dye colorings, can make kids with ADHD even more hyperactive.
Yep.
So it becomes harder, and it doesn't necessarily take effect right away. It can take 1 to 2 days before it affects. So if you give somebody, an ADHD child, candy with a red dye in it, I think it's red dye number 5, mm-hmm. today, Wednesday, they could still be feeling the effects of that.
Right, right. Yeah.
And we don't think about the fact that it stays in our bodies and in our systems that long.
Right. Well, I mean, in the end, the bottom line is that it makes more sense just to use the more natural food coloring because there's really no need, maybe other than cost cutting, to do the synthetic ones anymore. I think there's enough out there that we've got mm-hmm. that it's more smart, you know, just it makes us a little bit smarter on how we do these kinds of things, and it just makes sense to me.
It is the asbestos of the food world.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, it was under at a time it had its place.
We don't need it anymore.
It.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there are so many good, natural, healthy sources out there that you can use to make mm-hmm. foods more appealing.
Right.
And you can hear our enthusiasm about going in that direction to keep us as healthy as possible. And we would like to have our enthusiasm to promote your business as a sponsor of The Kitchen's Open. And never has that been or ever will be synthetic.
Yeah. It's all natural.
Yeah, darn right.
As a sponsor, we will highlight your business during the segment and in our newsletter. We could also share an interview with you or broadcast live from your business.
For more information about these opportunities, just give us a call at 715-424-1300 and speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with Ashley to work out all the details.
That number again, line
Right. It's right in front of you.
Thank you, Beth. Oh, there we go. 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was interesting. I learned a lot on that one.
Yeah,
wow.
Me too. Yeah.
Very cool.
It's a really good one. Appreciate that, Beth.
Yeah.
We are going to make Beth stick around a little bit longer.
Little more
She's going to hang
yeah.
out with us for our next segment. When we come back, we're talking about phrases that we like, 20 old school sayings we still love and what they actually mean. We'll be coming back with that on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Tell me something good.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. We got James behind the mic, joined by Melissa.
Melissa.
Melissa. Hello.
Seth.
Good morning.
Beth.
Hey.
And all of you. Thanks for being here, everybody. We appreciate you.
I'm here,
too. Ah, there she is. There she is. We can't do this without Mel. We got to have Mel. We appreciate you being here, everybody. Beth sent this article over from goodhousekeeping.com that I thought was too good. We had to bring her a sticker. You know, got to do a little overtime here, Beth. 20 old school sayings we still love and what they actually mean. This is comes to us again from goodhousekeeping.com. You can find the complete article over there. And we'll just kind of go through these here. But what we've done these for a while now on The Morning Show, kind of finding out the history of idioms and some of those.
Yep.
I don't know that we've really just kind of taken them like through a run here of them.
And, no, we kind of hit and miss kind of stuff, yeah.
And looking at this, I think this may be the most complete list of these phrases. Where it's all of them together. And I was pressing my brain so hard to try to think, were there any that didn't include, Beth? And they got them all. So that was kind of interesting to me, too. The part that I thought was the most, I don't know if it's the most interesting, the part that I just, I enjoy, I just want to wrap my hands around and hug so much about this, is how we keep some of these phrases going.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And phrases that my grandparents used, that my kids are using today and stuff. And I thought that part was kind of cool, that we kind of, for everything, I mean, how much music that my grandparents listened to are we still listening to?
Right. Mm-hmm.
How many movies or shows or anything are still popular?
Right.
But yet these phrases, we're still saying the bee's knees. We're still saying that.
I'm trying so hard to bring that back.
I know you are.
First one on the list, the bee's knees. This quirky compliment describes something truly excellent or delightful, the best of the best. Whether or not bees actually even have knees is irrelevant. The phrase became popular in the 1920s to describe someone or something uniquely wonderful, stylish, or cool.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yep. Like my husband has the bee's knees.
Nice. Now, I do not want bee's knees. Those do not sound very sturdy because they fly and they don't need them. So.
And I will try to, I'm going to try to like dip out of this conversation a bit because I want Melissa's takes, especially to counter what Beth just did. We need that. Don't take any wooden nickels.
Okay.
I've never heard this one.
Really?
You've never heard it?
Oh, wow.
No. Oh, my.
This old saying is a friendly warning to stay sharp and avoid getting duped.
Yes. Caveat emptor, basically. Yeah.
Wooden nickels were sometimes handed out as tokens or gimmicks, not real money.
Huh.
Kind of like...
when?
Like rewards things now on, like, you know, wherever you go. Yes, you can only like spend this here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Number three, mad as a hatter. Maybe my favorite one.
Yes.
Someone who is mad as a hatter is completely bonkers, eccentric, or unpredictable. The phrase dates back to the hat makers of the 18th and 19th centuries who were exposed to mercury in the felt-making process.
Yes, made them a little crazy.
This did actually make them crazy.
One of my favorite stories in history that at the turn of the century and the derby hats or whatever become very popular in London, and everybody's got to have one. Rich, poor, doesn't matter because they're affordable. And the big thing about these that sells a bit of any hat in history up until this point, well, they can fit every head. We can put it to Seth's head. We can fit it to your head, Beth. All we got to do, just need to put this on your head for a little bit. That little feeling, that's just the mercury. Don't mind that. That's just the mercury we put around the brim so it could fit your head perfectly. Nothing to worry about here. It'll be perfectly fine. And like a week later, it didn't even take that long. And like people were showing up like, hey, I'm not feeling good.
Yeah, something's wrong here.
But it took them a while to figure this out. And thus the phrase, mad as a hatter, is born.
Wow. Which
leads me to ask, did the phrase come before the character in the Alice in Wonderland?
Yes.
Or I think it did. Alice in
Wonderland
yes.
Come way before that.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, that makes sense before. That's why we have the Mad Hatter in
and wearing
Alice
a top hat. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Number four, spill the beans. Mm-hmm. When someone spills the beans, they let a secret slip. The phrase likely comes from an ancient voting practice involving beans and ballots.
I have heard about that. Yes,
the counting beans.
Yes.
If someone tipped the jar, the results were revealed.
There you go. That's kind of cool. So don't spill the beans unless you're voting with them. That's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
But now it's all about the juicy details. Tell me the secret.
Yeah, that's right.
Give me all the info.
Spill the beans.
Mm-hmm. I want the 411.
A stitch in time saves nine.
Yes. Okay. I've heard that one often.
This practical proverb encourages early action. The idea is that fixing a small tear now saves from having to fix a bigger one later.
Mm-hmm. Which is true in your clothing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's a timeless reminder that a little effort today can go a whole long way.
I wanted to ask Melissa, because she does, do some, that kind of kind of work. Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
Does it specifically save nine stitches? No, I'm just kidding.
Depends on how big the tear is.
Oh, okay. All right. But I like the idea of just doing nine no matter how big the tear is.
No.
Really big stitches.
Yeah. For you, a stitch in time would save 100.
Yeah.
No, it'll save you nine times the amount of time it would take to fix the problem.
There you go.
Makes
sense. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I feel very confident about this one. The worst phrase that we've probably ever come up with as human beings. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yes.
This vivid metaphor warns against accidentally discarding something valuable while trying to get rid of something unwanted. It's a reminder to think things carefully. I just don't know where this came from.
Yeah, it sounds just so...
Okay, so my understanding, and Melissa, maybe you know more about this than I do, but the family, if you had a large family, back then they had large families, everybody used the same bathtub at the same time. Yep. So you only filled it up once. So it got very dark with the last one, which would be the baby. So when you threw out the bathwater, you needed to make sure the baby wasn't still in that bathwater.
Gotcha, okay.
Wow.
Or anything else.
Right. For that matter, right, yeah.
Because hopefully your baby isn't under the water.
Exactly. That would be my concern. Couldn't you see the baby above the water?
But... Speaking of dark, woo. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never heard that.
Yeah.
You know, I would say our modern day equivalent to that is don't forget the baby in the back seat.
Yeah.
Check that's true.
Seat.
Fair.
The back seat. Yeah. Check the back seat.
Oh, it's still in his head. Wow.
Oh, I just put it there. Sorry.
Yeah. I really appreciate it. I love that one, actually. I like that commercial. Mind your P's and Q's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
A reminder to mind your manners. This phrase originates, our origins are debated. It could reference lowercase letters or tavern shorthand for pints and quarts.
Okay.
I never heard that before.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Don't spill
the beer.
Yeah, don't give someone a quart when they should only get a pint.
Or a pint when they should get a quart.
Yeah, that's really true. You lose some money. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I will tell you all off air what James thought that meant.
Oh dear.
At number eight, moving on. Over the moon. When someone says they're over the moon, they're absolutely thrilled, bursting with happiness.
Okay.
I love that phrase.
Does that come from the nursery rhyme?
It does.
From, the
cow jumped over the moon. The cow jumped over the moon, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. My daughters and I always say, I love you to the moon and back. Riding shotgun. Now synonymous with sitting in the front passenger seat, the phrase actually traces back to stagecoach days when someone rode next to the driver with a shotgun.
With literally a shotgun, yeah.
To protect them from the highwaymen.
Bandits. I've known that. I feel like I've known that my whole life. Is that a common one? Is that most people know that one? Yeah.
My kids are just both shotgun. Now age enough, old enough to be able to use the front seat, and they are already calling shotgun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, put a sock in it. a slightly sassy way to stay be quiet.
Be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
This saying may have originated from using socks to muffle the sound of early gramophones.
Oh,
or trumpets, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just thought that is such a fun phrase to say. Put a sock in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So is hit the hay. That's a fun one to say.
Still use that one. Yeah. Boy, that's very common, yeah.
That, of course, ready to go to bed. The phrase comes from when mattresses were often stacked with hay.
Filled with straw, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one makes sense.
Or grass.
Yeah. Yep.
Paint the town red.
Oh.
This lively expression means going out for a wild night. The phrase may have originated from an 1830s escapade in England where a rowdy group literally painted things red during a drunken spree.
Wow.
Well, you know, anytime it involves drinking, it's got to involve drinking when you paint the town red. But, yep, alcohol will be there.
If this is true, this is where this originates from. How much red did they?
That's a lot of paint.
This is from the 1830s, like in London,
I mean, they didn't like probably paint whole things red. They maybe just made their mark.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
I love the idea of them trying to get every building.
Bloop. They certainly did make their mark. It's a phrase
we still use. Yeah.
From one incident, I would have thought this was like something that teenagers were doing in the 1830s, and it was like a trend with teenagers or something. Like they're just literally painting things red.
But I love how we've connected it with the celebration of it and not the vandalism.
Not vandalism, yeah.
Like a broken record.
Well, we all know this one,
When someone keeps repeating themselves, of course, the phrase comes from vinyl records that skip and loop.
That's right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. How about the pot calling the kettle black?
I like that one.
Yep, use that a lot.
Someone criticizes another person, it's the pot calling the kettle black. The phrase points out hypocrisy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's a timeless check on one's self-awareness.
Yep.
I love this one. Burning the midnight oil. Or every day in the day, a day in the life of James. If you're up working late, of course, or studying or something like that, before electricity, oil lamps lit the way for those pulling late night shifts. Mm-hmm. The phrase still captures that sense of quiet dedication and long late hours.
Yes, mm-hmm, for sure.
The whole nine yards. This saying means going all in, giving everything you got. Its origin is unclear, though some trace it to World War II ammunition belts or fabric measurements. Whether it's origin, whether it's that or not, but I think most modern people would think, oh, football. That's
nine yards. Yeah,
that's
right.
Associated with football.
One I've heard is that which is not true because it's not that there's 9 yards of fabric in a kilt, you know, in the whole outfit. Kind of thing, which I don't think is true. It doesn't have that much, but
I don't know. Kilts have a lot of fabric in them.
That's true, but I don't know if it's 9 yards is a lot.
I'm going to check. Hold on. Keep going.
How about chew the fat? To chew the fat is to chat casually, often about nothing in particular. The phrase may have started as sailors talking while eating salted meat.
Oh, literally chewing the fat. Yeah, because salted meat was basically gristle.
Yeah.
And some of the less nice cuts of meat, let's say.
Close but no cigar.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Originally heard at carnival games, this phrase means you almost won, but not quite. In the early 20th century, cigars were given as prizes, and missing the mark meant no reward. So you missed the cigar.
There you go.
By the way, kids also won cigars.
That's just scary.
Yeah,
I've heard a variation on that, a close but no banana, which I think is kind of funny because banana is a funny word.
It is,
but.
And I'm going to do these in opposite order. Like let sleeping dogs lie. This classic bit of advice means it's best not to stir things up. The image is clear. Don't wake a peaceful sleeping dog.
No,
that's right.
They might be upset about that. Yeah,
you think.
And wrapping things, the dog just goes right back to sleep.
Mostly.
Let's not act like the dog, like we just messed up the dog's sleeping
now
pattern.
If it's a wolf, I would not want to wake him.
And finally, cut a rug.
Yes.
I love this phrase. I love it. I just don't use it very often. More charming than just saying go dancing, this phrase conjures visions of swinging, twirling, and jitterbugging.
Mm-hmm.
No rhyme or reason where it came from,
though. Oh, wow. Lost
early
to the
carpets were delicate, and when you would dance on them,
you might
could
yank
create
them,
a hole.
Okay.
Oh,
that would
make sense. I just made that up.
I was going to say.
That's good, though. As good as anybody's.
Balderdash.
I love that, though. though. I almost don't want to know the real, if that's not where it comes from or not, because I kind
of
like that.
It didn't have one of my all-time favorites because people don't use it anymore, but enough room to swing a dead cat.
Oh, yeah.
I love using that phrase because people are like, what?
Yeah. Going back to cut a rug, I wonder if it's because many dance floors were wooden. Not on carpets. So if you cut a rug, you're cutting away from the rug, the carpet, onto the wooden floor.
Yeah, I'd buy it.
One article I'm seeing says it's linked to the popular dance of the 1920s and 30s called the jitterbug. The vigorous movements of the jitterbug, particularly when performed by many people on a dance floor, could cause the rug to appear worn or even cut.
Right.
There you go. You weren't far off there, Melissa.
It sounded reasonable. Yeah.
And then I do have the answer to the whole nine yards.
Okay.
And it's what I assumed. The looms were not very wide originally. They were only about 30 inches wide. So, yes, historically, it did take 9 yards of cloth to make a great quilt, kilt, because they had to make 9 yards to sew the two halves together to get it wide enough to make the 4.5 yards long that it takes to make a great.
Of course, Melissa would know the loom one.
Well, yeah, I got one sitting right
there. I know.
It's 30 inches loomed. Wide.
Yes.
And that was a great one, Beth. Thanks for bringing that. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. We will get to our news, sports, and partner break. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. I think our generation just doesn't realize as well that how great of a voice Dionne Warwick was.
I love her. She's great.
We are kind of left with the phone thing that she did, psychic hotline stuff.
And everything. So when she was in the 80s and the 90s,
she was something, man.
Yeah,
something. Great singer. Let's go back, everybody, to the 90s.
All right.
Yes.
Wait, do we have
to? We're going to go back in time.
Nice.
Which is from the 80s. Anyway.
A new old trend is going on this summer. 90s kids summer.
Oh, boy.
Millennial parents are behind this trend a bit, but some say it's just real. It's not realistic anymore. What do you think? Have you seen the new trend called 90s Kids Summer? The idea is to give your kids the kind of summer you had back when everything was a little simpler.
Okay.
Or at least we think it was a little simpler.
Taking away the phones and tablets. Got it.
Basically, that's correct.
I have studied the brain so much that I can't help myself. So please shut my mic off if I'm just repeating or I'm taking the fun out of the topic here or anything. But I don't know if it's common knowledge or not. We don't remember anything perfectly.
Nope.
People like Seth or like a LeBron James or some people with this photographic memory. Like, that aside, essentially,
right.
We really do not have that power in our brain. Our brains are not capable of remembering.
Memories are manipulatable. Is that a word? Manipulatable?
It is now.
We got you. We knew what you meant. Yeah.
Coined a new one.
I mean, the idea that things were simpler, no matter how old you are, no matter when your childhood was, is just plain not true. Mm-hmm. Like, and the idea that, well, yes, it seemed simpler because you were a kid.
That's right.
Like, it doesn't matter how hard of a life you had when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. I had a very, very difficult childhood. It wasn't. I look back, and there's plenty of things I romanticize. There's plenty of things that I remember that weren't accurate. Or I talked to my sister and like, no, Jimmy, that's not how that.
That's not how it worked.
You know that. I think that's important to keep in mind with this.
Right.
Stuff.
Right.
So what they're talking about is it means things like running through sprinklers, drinking hose water, riding bikes all day, all with minimal supervision. Basically, just get outside and don't come back until it's dark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
90s nostalgia is big, and so that's one reason it's trending. Well, and of course it's big because our generation has gotten to this age where now they're pandering to us.
Right, especially the older millennials, and because there's so many of them, that's got to be part of it. So.
Well, they I don't know how true this is, but as far as marketing people and everything, they're just assuming, well, first, a lot of them are now in the positions of power, so of course they're going to be doing a lot of the things.
Or at least positions of money,
People of exactly. our age range. Yep. Mm-hmm. But also this idea that our age range is the one that still has money to spend, mm-hmm. That we have, where we have affordable income that we can spend or
right,
something.
Right.
Which,
that's an illusion.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's about as much. We were talking about romanticizing.
Yeah, no kidding.
So there's a big general feeling that kids don't get to be kids anymore. That is something that we've been they've been talking about since we were kids.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. The same way I heard the same thing.
But is a 90s kids summer actually doable in 2025? Experts say it might be a great idea for some families, but not others. So don't force it. It's harder to do if you live in a city or a not so safe area, or both parents work.
Mm.
Which is not the death of the American family. It's the death of the American economy. Mm-hmm. Do you think both parents are working because they want to? Like, there's some that might.
Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of people that if they could, they would be staying home with the kids, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you want to say the death of the American family? How about not running the country like a business? How not trying to letting businesses have power in our politics?
Yeah.
You really want
making families affordable.
Yeah.
You could see if how a person feels about the family if they put the dollar ahead of it, mm-hmm. which they do quite a bit.
Yes. It's very, very clearly.
There's also a chance your child isn't capable of having a 90s kid summer. If you force them outside, they might not know what to do with themselves.
What am I going to do now?
Now what? Yeah. I touched grass. I'm done. I'm kidding.
An expert.
Kids have great imaginations, but it depends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got to use it just like anything else.
Yep.
An expert at Michigan State explained it's like this, quote, you can't just have this over-scheduled, technically saturated life for 9 months of the year and then switch to absolute freedom. We haven't prepared our children for that.
That's true. It's very true.
Think about, and we can, there is something, because boy, the older we get, the harder it is to find things to where, okay, I want you to think about what it was like when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. It's almost impossible. Except I tell you, now think about what it was like the last day of school.
Mm.
Almost everybody remembers that feeling.
Yep.
And it's not as romanticized or tainted. Now, that's a feeling that I guarantee you a month ago or whatever, a bunch of kids were feeling.
Yep.
That last day of school feeling. And what that
freedom.
Feeling... Freedom, yes.
Yeah.
That's what that feeling was. And now giving it to your kid every day of summer. Every day of summer, you're pushing your kid out the door and telling them, hey, it's freedom.
Yeah.
And your kid is, freedom! Freedom! And they're outside. They have no idea what to do with it. No idea what to do with it.
Free to be bored, I guess. Yeah. No.
It's there. It, you know, our brains, even to this day, no matter how old you are out there listening, need structure, need routine.
Yeah.
The idea of doing this to a kid, it could be a little daunting for the kid. It could be a little. It doesn't mean that you don't do some of this.
Oh,
it
absolutely.
It just means that there is some structure in the summer.
Right.
There is some structure.
And that's the thing. There was more structure in the summer. You're just remembering all the parts where it wasn't.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right.
There was still something there. I mean,
mm-hmm. you still had to be out home when the lights went out or whatever.
Yeah,
or,
when the street lights came on.
They just went out
certain
later.
Chores that you had to accomplish before you got the freedom.
Yeah, right.
You know, like I had chores when I was a kid, and I had, was responsible to do stuff.
Yeah.
But then, we did have time where we got to just go play in the woods because I grew up in the country.
Yep, me too.
So, and then it was just, okay, I'll be home for dinner.
Yep.
Or you don't get any.
So, yep.
I still got chores. Yeah. I just realized I didn't do
it. I got all the chores now, James. Yeah. All of them.
Yeah, I do. I do. That's right. My brother, I used to be able to pawn things out, so I didn't even think of this.
Yeah.
I used to be like, my brother and sister, man, that ain't right. I'm going to call them up.
Come over and clean my bathroom, Jelly Bean.
I got to text Jill real quick here. we'll be back after this, everybody. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day I go.
Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're going to wrap up the show talking about our schedule, some good stories of the day, and some local events going on in our area. And a quick reminder to our staff that we've got our team meeting today.
Yeah. Yes. For those of you listening out there, yes, we do have a team meeting today.
I didn't say that just to remind myself. It was you guys.
Of course not.
You guys. I knew. I remembered. I didn't remember.
No.
We've got that going on. We're looking forward to that. It's going to be fun to have everybody. I love having everybody in the building. It's fun.
It is nice. It doesn't happen very often. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And our meetings are good. Yeah. We have fun with those. But we do want to get into our schedule real quick. But a quick programming note. Due to the 4th of July being on a Friday this year, no regular WFHR morning show. We won't have we will have some fun stuff for you. Some Tim's got a polka show lined up for you, a special hour of that.
Yep.
And Seth is working on something pretty cool.
I'm going to do my first hour special of Seth Faces the Music. We're going to do songs focused on America. But now, remember, this is Seth Faces the Music, so there's going to be some songs you may not expect in there. Mm-hmm. Just want to throw that out there.
Expect the unexpected.
That's right. So
Seth Faces the Music.
Yeah, that's going to be at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, this Friday, 9 a.m., the Sunshine Polka Variety Show. Tim Humble to have a great special 4th of July edition for you, and then a special 4th of July edition of Seth Faces the Music at 10 a.m. We will not be having, of course, Culver Star of the Day or our El Cafe show that day, but we will the next Friday.
Yes, so
listen
indeed.
For that. Quick programming note, the Rafters are doing an Ernie Banks special today, a doubleheader. Mm-hmm. That is going to be fun. First Rafter game will be around 3:20 today.
I believe that's when it's supposed to start, yeah.
And then the second game will follow, both Madison, taking on Madison in both games. With that, certainly our normal programming here at WFHR will be interrupted in the afternoon, and we will not have a Playmakers edition for you on 105.5.
That's right.
We will be back on Wednesday for that. And then more Rafter baseball tomorrow. The boys' summer in Fond du Lac, 6:20 start time for that one. Keep that in mind, everybody. And we got great guests for you all week long. We're looking forward to bringing on with a Rapids Report. Be listening for that throughout the week as well.
Yep.
I had a couple of other things I wanted to touch on, like our great friends at the Wisconsin Rapid City Band have their shows going on all summer long. And they have a special show this Friday, the 4th of July. They'll be at the Centralia Center, 7 o'clock, right on 3rd Avenue South. Be sure to check out our Wisconsin Rapid City Band whenever you get a chance, everybody.
Yeah, it's part of the big 4th of July celebration. Yes.
And speaking of music, got a lot of music in our good stories here, Seth. We've got that going on. And then this Saturday, July 5th, the Adams County Fire District has their street dance going on.
Woo!
It's going to be featuring Casey Kilgore and the Swing Crew. And our own Tim, the polka guy, is going to be spinning records over there.
That's awesome.
That's fun.
Well, Tim, awesome. Yeah.
I am so, so happy for Tim. And
yes.
I'm so happy for the crowd that's going to get to enjoy Tim and the great music. And Tim's a fantastic MC, everybody.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good at this. Kid games, face painting, raffles, bake sale, food and beverages, and plenty more will be going on at the Adams County Fire District Street Dance happening this Saturday from 10 to 10. I'm sorry, from noon till 10. Don't miss out on the fun. We'll see you there.
Fantastic.
It's going to be a lot of fun, everybody.
Yes, it is.
And more music coming up later this
summer.
Well,
we do in August, everyone. The pre-season show over at the Arts Council at Savor the Arts, they are bringing in Yacht Rock Gold Experience. They're celebrating the smooth sounds of the Doobie. Now, I don't know, some of these are Yacht Rock. I guess they don't associate them with that, like the Doobie Brothers, Fleetwood Mac, and Steely Dan.
Yeah.
But I guess you could fudge it a little bit. But then Christopher Cross, Kenny Loggins, Little River Band, Ambrosia, Bosque, Eggs, and so many more. This experience engages fans with amazing harmonies and musicianship that brings audiences back to a time when music made you feel good and soothe the soul. They satisfy the craving hit after hit with great visuals and a performance that sounds like the record. Now, joining is Yacht Rock royalty Elliot Lorie, the lead singer of Looking Glass, of course, Brandy. One of the greatest soft rock.
You're a fine woman.
Yes, one of the great soft rock songs of all time. You will be there. The fun begins at 4 o'clock on Sunday, August 10th. And, of course, it'll be at the Performing Arts Center of Wisconsin Rapids, 1801 16th Street South. Extend the party by dining from themed food trucks in the parking lot after the show. It's an afternoon show, so you have time to do that, everyone. Get your tickets now, savorthearts.com. You can buy them online right there. Of course, you can also stop by their offices or give them a call at 715-424-2787 during their normal office hours, Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Shout out to Sally and the gang over at Savor the Arts. We appreciate them. That's going to be a really fun show. And I'm going to have Christopher Cross stuck in my head all day.
Yes, you should. as well you should.
Seth, one more thing I wanted to touch on.
From heaven. No, sorry. Sally. I love Christopher. Anyway.
In New York City.
So this Friday, of course, is 4th of July. And we've got at the Moravian Church, we have our annual Brat Fry, everyone. Starts at 3 o'clock, goes till 8:30. So you're going to want to come for that. Bring your books, though, because, of course, the book bin is going to be out for the fall book sale.
Now you're luring me there with brats.
With food as well, yes. I am. No prisoners. I'm taking... Just bring your books when you're there, everyone. We're collecting those books through the September 15th for the fall book sale at the Moravian Church, 310 First Avenue South. Of course, the book sale itself will be October 9th through the 11th this year. And I do want to mention, once again, all proceeds go to scholarships for Mid-State. That's where all the proceeds go. So, want to see you there and want you bring your books.
Yeah.
Yep.
A woman in Maryland won $50,000 using lotto numbers from her horoscope. The numbers were 2, 5, 5, 6, 9. She told lottery officials. She said that in the middle of manifesting the $1 million in she manifested these numbers.
Okay. So I don't know. So.
Cops in Massachusetts used crackers to catch someone's pet pig.
Hey.
They joked that it showed some serious chomps.
Oh, that's good.
On the run. But they got it back home, which made the them for a pig-ture a perfect day.
Oh, God. Oh, the puns. The puns.
Love it.
Oh, it's great.
Those are pretty good. Those are pretty good. If you get to catch any of the shots of this, it's fantastic.
Amazing.
It's fantastic. I of all animals that have escaped, we've covered just about every single one of them. Yes. I don't know why, but there is nothing funnier to me than a pig on the loose.
Pig on the loose.
Of all the animals you could mention, I don't know why. I have no reason.
It's just watching. Have you ever seen people try to catch a pig? There's actually a game where you try to do that.
Yeah.
They're hard, man. Mm-hmm. They can do
greased pig.
They can do dime turns, man. All of a sudden, change direction.
And I cannot imagine what is going through the pig's mind. I cannot imagine. Just don't
get away from me. Get away from me.
And an apartment building in Cleveland caught fire last week, and Good Samaritans caught a baby dropped from a third story window.
Oh my gosh.
We cannot play the video.
No.
The mom had to climb down to get out, and they're both okay. There's a lot of profanity in the video.
Not surprising, yeah.
It is a very moving video.
It is
strangers helping strangers. It is arguably the definition of that.
Well, that is amazing.
Just a really cool story.
Mm-hmm.
A really good one.
Wow.
And another good one right there. And kind of a lighter note, but also a good story, I think. You can get this one at upi.com. Loose goat evades capture for weeks in Maryland.
It's the Maryland goat.
A goat on the loose was feasting on residents' lawns and dodging capture attempts for several weeks. And this is like the Barry Sanders of goats. This thing was able to outmaneuver.
Speaking of turning on a dime, right?
Yeah.
Fort Washington resident Jeffrey Herbert said the goat, which he dubbed Billy the Goat, can often be seen squeezing between neighbors' fences in the early morning. It would be nothing to just be sitting there drinking your cup of coffee and then, there's Billy.
There's a goat. Yeah.
He can't be caught, Herbert told many of his fellow residents, along with the local news station. Somebody owns him. They need to come and get him.
Come on. Get Billy.
Get your goat.
Maine State
Police. Oh, you'll get my goat, Melissa.
Waiting for somebody to do it. Maine State Police expected the difficulty, experienced the difficulty of wrangling loose goats earlier this month when 15 of the animals escaped from a trailer in northbound lanes. We talked about that one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
The goats were safely rounded up without any injuries to humans or animals. But this particular goat, Billy, is still on the loose.
Oh my gosh. He's an escape artist. That's
really
awesome.
And he is really getting the goat of a lot of neighbors.
Yeah, he absolutely is. It's nice that goats can eat basically anything.
Yeah.
He can survive for as long as they don't catch him, so he'll be fine.
You really don't have to worry about him too much.
No,
he's gonna
be all
right. Yep. He's going to be okay. I do love the idea of somebody new moving into the neighborhood. And they're just, they don't have any idea.
You heard the story of Billy. Yeah.
I just see
someone starts playing a banjo.
Hey, yeah. Anybody else see this goat? Like, and the
oh, you haven't heard.
But the neighbor's not even like, what are you talking about? I've never heard of it.
You think you're crazy. But there's a goat. It's right there. What goat? I don't know.
Get a load of this guy. We're seeing goats. Melissa and I will kick off July together tomorrow. We will have some fun. We got a couple of good stories lined up for you in there that we're going to be getting into. Looking forward to it. Now, I want to talk actually about this with Melissa. Pizza Hut has officially launched a very controversial limited edition flavor.
Oh, dear.
Whoa, we'll get into that. Yeah. Plenty more.
I'm intrigued.
Great show today, you two.
You too.
Have a great day, everybody. Be good to each other.
This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.